Over the past 3 years, hibernating bats have been dying in record numbers in the Northeast U.S. due to what's being called white nose syndrome. New research suggests that the disease could lead to one of the most common North American bat species, the little brown myotis, becoming extinct within 2 decades. Nina Fassione, Executive Director of Bat Conservation International, joins us now to explain the study and the continuing threat that white nose syndrome poses to bats. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me on. Good afternoon.
How was this recent study conducted?
Well, the scientists looked at data from many years. This is a common bat species. In fact, it's the most common bat in the Northeast United States. So there was a great deal of data on bat populations, and they looked at studies of reproduction and bat populations and growth over years, and then did extensive modeling to look into the future and see with the mortality rates this bat species is facing now, what the chances are of local extinction. And as you mentioned, learned that the chance of extinction is extremely high for the species.
Have they been a hardy, stable species in the past?
Yes, this is the bat species that we're all familiar with. Anybody who lives in the East, these are the little brown bats, the little brown myotis that you see flying outside under streetlights at night. It's the species that's most commonly found in people's attics or in your garages or barns. So actually, they were one of North America's most common mammal species, really, and one that we're all used to seeing.
Are they the only bat species affected by white nose syndrome?
No, there have been 9 species that have been found with the white nose syndrome fungus, the Geomyces destructens fungus. 6 of those have been killed by the fungus, and in fact, all 6 species of hibernating bats in the Northeast United States have been impacted by white nose syndrome.
So there's some kind of link between the syndrome and hibernation?
Yes, the fungus is a cold-loving fungus, and it is associated with bats that are hibernating. It requires certain temperatures. The fungus requires certain temperatures, scientists believe, and so the couple of species of bats that do not hibernate in the East, in other words, these are migratory bats, have not been impacted, fortunately.
Well, we first discussed this on our show, I think, when it first popped up about 4 years ago. Do we know whether there had been outbreaks before then, or did this just appear in 2006?
Well, yes, you know, I listened to my predecessor's interview with you and was thinking, sadly, that since the last time you covered this topic, there have been so many new species that it's been discovered in and so many new states. White nose syndrome is now found in 14 states and 2 Canadian provinces. So it has been spreading rapidly. And to answer your question, you have to remind me.
I wondered if it had perhaps shown up before 2006, but we hadn't noticed it until more recently when it became a bigger problem.
Right. Thank you. So, yes, it was first discovered near Albany, New York in 2006. Now, the fungus is found in bats in Europe, and so there's a lot of speculation. There's still so much that's not known about the disease and the fungus, but the kind of working hypothesis is that perhaps the disease has been around in Europe for a long time period, and bats there are relatively immune to it, because while the fungus is found in bats, it's not killing bats there the way it is in the United States. And so the hypothesis is that perhaps it was a caver or someone who was visiting a cave or an area with white nose syndrome in Europe that then came to the United States and brought it here, and the bats did not have immunity to it, and that's why they're being so heavily impacted. But we were unaware of this disease before a couple of years ago.
When we've talked about white nose syndrome in the past, it's always come across as somewhat mysterious, and I think there were many questions that still needed to be answered. Have we unraveled any of the mysteries as of yet?
We know a lot more now than we did a few years ago, but there's still so much more to learn. So I think that you know, now for the first time, scientists are comfortable saying that the fungus is actually causing the disease rather than just a symptom of, and that they know for sure that this is transmitted bat to bat. They know that bats can give it to each other. We still don't know, although we speculate that humans can also transmit it to bats, but that hasn't been definitively proven. So we have made a lot of progress with the knowledge, but unfortunately, the main thing that we need to find out, which is how to stop it, that still eludes us.
And we have this prediction of extinction in 2 decades. What are the ecological implications of little brown myotis disappearing?
Well, there are implications ecologically, economically, and frankly, I would submit culturally, because, again, this is a species that we're all so familiar with. But ecologically, these animals eat bugs for a living. That's how they survive. They eat a lot of insects that are either insect pests and possibly even carry disease or health implications. And probably more importantly, they eat insect pests that are agricultural pests and cause damage to crops. So scientists estimate that there have been more than 1 million bats killed by white nose syndrome so far. And those 1 million bats would have eaten nearly 700 tons of insects a year. So that's a lot of bugs that aren't being consumed by bats that will need to be addressed in some other way, increased pesticide use perhaps, or we live with more insects and have more agricultural damage. I don't think we really know what the implications are for losing the species.
Well, since we now have associated the fungus with the disease, can't we figure out ways to treat it or to stop it?
Well, there are all sorts of experiments going on to try to figure out how to stop it. They're trying things like fungicides in caves, looking to see if there's some kind of immunization, some kind of bacterial or other agents that could halt the disease. And there are a lot of good studies going on. We just haven't found the solution yet. And, of course, we need to be careful because you don't want to play around too much with cave ecosystems because, of course, there's other biota in there that you don't want to disturb.
Meanwhile, we've lost 1 million bats. How many more bats are around?
Well, luckily, it was once a numerous animal, but again, within, I think the exact number was about 16 years, could be how quickly we lose an animal that was once one of the most populous animals in the Northeast United States. So we have bats around now. It's interesting. I live in Maryland. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I talk to people in those states, and they say, yeah, I don't see the bats anymore. So, whether they've heard about the disease or whether we truly are noticing this animal disappearing, I think it's an indication.
Thank you so much for talking with us. Nina Fassione is Executive Director of Bat Conservation International. And the story is a sad one. Bat biologists' worst fears about this little brown bat have been validated by a new study.